All right, big show today here on Tuesday morning, March 22nd. We've got Team Name Tuesday, of course. We'll talk about when you should draft injured players, guys that might start the year on the DL, like Michael Brantley, although he's making great progress, Yu Darvish, and position battles today. The Astros' first base battle, that's an interesting one. Cardinals' first base, a bunch of closer battles going on. We'll tell you about it right now on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. It's 8:15 in the morning.
What?
I don't have a voice yet. This might be the earliest podcast we've ever done.
We should do all podcasts at this time of day.
I'm worried I'm going to wake up. Peak time of the day, Adam.
This is the best time of the day to be in the office doing work.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for like my doorbell to ring and my neighbors to be like, "Will you keep it down? Our kids are trying to sleep."
Sorry, I hope the kids are at school
in the morning.
Yeah, I was
spring break.
It might be spring break. Yeah,
it's spring break here at least.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's just hope that doesn't happen. So, hey, if your brackets are busted, people, you can make new picks. My bracket, you know, my bracket in our little podcast challenge is good. Other than that, my other ones are terrible. So I'm going to make new picks for the Sweet 16 in every round. More chances to win prizes, including a trip to next year's Final Four. You can sign up at cbssports.com/brackets. And, of course, get the CBS Sports app. And, of course, get the Fantasy app from CBS Sports. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something pretty cool. You don't know it, but this is pretty cool. Yesterday, I was looking around. And we are, thanks to all the listeners out there, the number one sports podcast on Stitcher.
Stitcher?
Yeah, Stitcher's a big deal. It's a big podcasting app.
We're number one.
And in iTunes, we were, I think, number 7 in the sports category yesterday. So that was pretty cool. So I want to thank everybody for listening, you know, making us, I guess, somewhat popular, and we work hard to help you win your league, so if you could, please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, write something nice. Don't make it about wins versus quality starts.
Have we gotten a few comments about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I've seen more support for quality starts, but there's definitely a divide here that we've discovered.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, quality starts are better. That was never my argument. It's just, rotisserie's a flawed format anyway. Just go with tradition.
You know, I've said this before on the podcast, not this year, I don't think, but a perfect league to me would be head-to-head points for hitters, or points for hitters and roto categories for pitchers. I actually think the roto categories for pitchers are pretty comprehensive if you just use the standard 5. I don't think you're missing anything. If you want to substitute quality starts for win, that's fine, but I don't think you're missing anything. But if you do just 5 hitting categories, you're missing a lot.
Well, not if you just use OPS.
Yeah. No, you don't use OPS. You replace batting average with on-base percentage. You replace home runs with slugging percentage. And then everything's pretty well represented. It's just you're still putting them all on equal terms with each other. And you're still saying, okay, I need to have just as many stolen bases as home runs. Well, not. I need to rank a certain place in that category. You know, even though home runs in reality are more valuable, it's just not a very accurate simulation of the way baseball works.
That's a good point. Well, we do have a lot to talk about, so let's go to our email of the day from Ed from Pittsburgh, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And Ed wants, I forgot. We have to announce our podcast league participants today. I do have that today.
Quickly. I'm excited.
Already?
I can't wait.
That happened overnight, almost.
We have a week. We get made days.
I'm sure they felt like they were waiting on pins and needles. I'm sure this is like Christmas morning
for some of them. All of them.
Mostly not, hardly any of them.
It's going to be a pretty bad Christmas morning for many of them.
They don't. Christmas morning is like this is like the worst Christmas morning in the history.
Oh, because they didn't get in. You're saying
almost 90, probably 95% of them did not get in.
Coal in the
More
stocking.
All right, so anyway, the email from Ed, he wants us to rate his pitching staff. Now, he's got some interesting categories. He has quality starts and wins. He has K per 9, but whatever. Let's just rate his pitching staff. Pretend it doesn't really change anything. He did not follow the get 2 top 20 pitchers advice, so can he win with this staff?
He might have.
Well, not based on rankings, but yes, he might have. Cole Hamels, Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, Tyson Ross, James Shields, Taijuan Walker, Yordano Ventura, Kenta Maeda, and Lucas Giolito. I'm going to read it again. Cole Hamels is his de facto ace. Carlos Martinez, Michael Wacha, Tyson Ross, James Shields, Taijuan Walker, Yordano Ventura, Kenta Maeda, and Lucas Giolito. He waited a little bit longer on pitching, but he's got some high upside guys. Can Ed from Pittsburgh win, and can anybody win with a pitching staff like this?
Oh, yeah. He didn't name any relievers and saved as one of the categories. I'm just going to assume that he has good relievers. But I don't, maybe he'd be in trouble if he didn't have those.
Yeah,
but the thing that struck me was he may not have gotten two top 20, although that's debatable. But he has four top 30 and seven top 40 pitchers. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, if you're going to skip out on the two of the top 20, this is the way to do it because it's all upside arms. I even say that for Shields because, I mean, we've seen Shields very recently be a top 20 pitcher himself. So I would put him in the upside category as well. It's just if you do this, you're relying a little more on luck. And I don't love doing that. There are situations sometimes where it's you actually improve your situation by relying on luck because you're not settling for mediocrity. But I think by passing up the high number of elite arms, it's not where I want to count on luck this season. There's a high percentage chance it'll hurt you.
Are we're expecting he has to start six of these guys? Is that
head-to-head categories? Probably five.
Okay. But so he has an excellent chance of having five top 40 pitchers. Like, extremely good odds. He does not need any luck for that to happen.
Right,
he's got
but,
seven.
You know, the top 35, there's that big gap in that within that top 40 that makes it's kind of just an arbitrary number at that point.
I don't see. There is a big gap after 18, 17, 18, or whatever. But I feel like there's another big gap after this group of pitchers that he has.
I think it's a little before I think there are two gaps within the top 40. There's like
I think there's one in eight.
A first tier that's 20 deep, and there's a second tier that's like seven or eight deep. And Walker, Ventura, Ross, you know, maybe they could bridge that gap and take a big step forward, but you can't count on it.
I love this approach because I'm going to guess his hitters are awesome.
Yeah, I love Hamels. You know, I think, do you guys consider Hamels an ace? Because I really do. I think he'll have a better year.
He's in that smaller second tier I referred to. I think there's some home run issues that bother me, especially with the move to Texas and facing the DH every time through the lineup. But he's the safest of this group he drafted for sure.
All right, spring standouts. I got three spring standouts for you. And the first one is quite obvious. The talk of spring training, Juan Nicasio. He does it again. Eight strikeouts in five scoreless innings against Minnesota. He has been the best pitcher in spring training. That's fair to say. Do you guys think about Juan? What do you think about Juan Nicasio? Is he a must draft guy at this point? You have a head to head points draft today. Are you going to draft Juan Nicasio?
Probably not. They're not saying he's not part of the competition there in Pittsburgh, but they're not really raving about him in a way that would tell me he's as good as in. So it could just be a waste of pick. That said, I don't think there's ever a problem with your last pick or two just throwing it at a guy you have a hunch about, especially since it's a points league and Nicasio obviously has relief pitcher eligibility.
Next guy on the spring standout list is Eugenio Suarez for Cincinnati. So is he going to be their third baseman? He's going to have shortstop eligibility. He's having a nice spring. Not an amazing spring, but I just wanted to bring him up because he was fantasy relevant for a stretch last year. Heath, what do you think about Eugenio Suarez?
He's a guy that from the very first time I did the rankings, I think I've moved him up a couple of different times. I just had him too low to start, and he was fantasy relevant when he got at bats. I think especially he's going to be more valuable in roto leagues because he's going to give you power at a position where it's kind of hard to find it. Mm-hmm. He's not going to crack my top 12 shortstops or third basemen, but one thing I really like is 5 games into the season, you're going to be able to play him at either middle infield or corner infield.
Would you rather have Marcus Semien or Eugenio Suarez?
In roto, I'd rather have Suarez.
I like Simeon a little more because there's some steals potential there too, but they're right next to each other.
Trevor Story or Eugenio Suarez?
I've got Suarez higher.
I think I may have moved Story ahead. I can't remember. I moved him way up Friday.
Now, this is a thing where we talked about yesterday in the podcast. If we found out that Jose Reyes was out for the year, then, yeah, I'd put Story ahead of him. But I think there's a better chance that Suarez has a job in July than Story.
Oakland starting pitcher Sean Manaea having a nice spring. 2.61 ERA, 5 walks, but 15 strikeouts in 10 and a third. Who's interested in Sean Manaea?
I'm not really thinking he has a decent chance of making the opening day roster.
I think what he really needs to happen is Rich Hill to blow up again.
That would help, but even then, I think they probably have some excess before Hill. But he's going to be a guy who's up mid-season, and I think if nothing else, he's made himself into a worthy draft and stash in AL-only. Mixed leagues, you can probably wait until you hear a little more buzz about him potentially getting the call.
He is a guy that I think even in the minors struggled a lot with his control and with walks, which would be kind of fitting if he took Rich Hill's spot. They both have that issue.
That's Sean Manaea, Oakland starting pitcher. Keep him on your radar in AL-only leagues. So, yeah, we'll talk about injured players, position battles, and we have fill-in-the-blank, although we might save fill-in-the-blank for tomorrow, because today is Team Name Tuesday, and here are some of your team names from the JMS Express. The Forsyth Awakens.
That's solid. That's
it's not
solid.
Bad. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't roll my eyes at it if I saw someone in one of my leagues make it a name.
I think I've seen this one before. It's from Tim. M-A-C-H, and then capital A-D-O, like Machado. Machado about nothing. Machado about nothing.
I think I like Acuna Machado better.
I like Acuna Machado better, too.
You have to stretch the pronunciation of the name so much to make it work. It's no good.
This is Cody in Washington. The Buxton Turner over Odor Drive. Buxton Turner Odor Drive. Al loved that one.
Yeah, it's
pretty good, I think.
It's a little busy.
It's almost. It would almost work better with fewer names, I think.
With Boxberger out, we have little of column A, little of column B, spelled C-O-L-O-M-E, and then column B. That's pretty funny.
That's not bad.
From Antoine, are you smarter than a fifth grader?
I like that one.
I think that's our winner so far. And Ryan from Ledyard, Connecticut, gives us solar eclipse of the heart.
Well, you usually see solar followed by power. And that's so overplayed that I like that he went a different direction with the name.
I'd just rather choose a player that's going to be starting.
Well, this was his team name from last year, he said.
Oh, okay. So that's good.
There's a little more hype for Solaire then.
I'm going to try to wait until after I draft to make my team name, and then I'm going to see who's on my team and try to name my team after someone who's actually on.
I have a long list of team names that I can use depending on who ends up on my teams.
Really? I'm really in the dark right now. I don't have much going on.
I'll have one ready for you if you can't figure one out.
Here's the problem with naming a team after your player, though. What happens when you trade that
player?
You keep the name.
Yeah.
But you don't feel that slight tug not
sure.
to trade the player
probably.
Because your team's named after him?
Yes, I do.
But you gotta make tough decisions.
Well, you could just not name your team after one of your players and then
clubhouse chemistry is important.
Okay.
It's weird to name your team after a player that's not on your team. I don't think it's a requirement. I just think it's a little weird to name your Trout, let it all out, and you don't have Mike Trout. I'm sorry, that's a weird team name.
You don't have to name it after any player.
That's true.
I did have an issue a couple of years ago with a coworker who I helped name her team, and she named it 50 Shades of Jay. It was an NFL team after Jay Cutler, and then he was so terrible halfway through the season, and she didn't want to bench him because her team name was named after Jay Cutler.
No, that's too much dedication to your team name. Way too much. Okay, let's draft some injured players. I'll give you a player, and I'm probably missing some people, so you guys let me know if there are any glaring omissions. I'll give you a player likely or, very good chance to start on the DL, and you tell me when you're drafting this player. Michael Brantley.
Probably round seven. I may have to move it up to six in points leagues, though, because his outlook is looking more promising by the day.
Yeah, I seven was where I think I drafted him in my very first draft, which was way back in January. It was just a mock. I moved him up quite a bit last week because of the positive news. I've got him right at the beginning of the sixth round.
Okay, how about you, Darvish? What's his timeline, first of all?
Late May, I think, or maybe mid-May.
Okay.
I usually see him go around 10, and usually my reaction then is, oh man, I should have taken him.
That's so. Kind of how I'm feeling. I haven't drafted Darvish once, and I feel like it's a mistake. I mean, 2 months is a lot, but at that point in the draft, you know, you can afford, like, let's just say you drafted a pitcher in the 10th round and he got hurt and missed 2 months and then he came back and was great. It would probably still be worth the value.
So he had Tommy John in
spring
April?
Training. Yeah.
March 13th.
Yeah.
So they say what, 12 months is average?
No, I think average. Or,
I mean 15 months is average. He's, 15, but three. I was thinking 3 months more than a year, and I just forgot how long a year was.
Mid May would put him on about the same timeline Jose Fernandez ended up being on last year, and Jose Fernandez was the earliest of the notable starting pitchers to have last year's Tommy John class. He was the one who came back after the shortest period of time. So it's an aggressive time.
So mid May is the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get him in the 10th.
Yeah. Maybe I overreacted a little bit. Fernandez was really good last year. He had a 2.92 ERA, which is pretty kind of high for him, but he had 14 walks, 79 strikeouts and 64 and two thirds. So I don't like, do you expect Darvish to come back and be Darvish, or do you expect a slightly worse version?
I think you always have to anticipate kind of a rocky start for anybody coming back from Tommy John surgery. The command's usually a little off, which doesn't always manifest as walks. But it also hasn't been kind of a universal rule. Some pitchers have come back, and Fernandez was actually at his best when he first came back last year, I think, and then he had a little rough patch when he dealt with another arm injury issue, I think a forearm or something.
Well, and you're probably not getting seven innings out of Darvish either for the first month at least that he's back. So if he comes back at the 1st of June, it's probably the 1st of July before you're getting the full Darvish.
All right, let's go to our next player, Homer Bailey, who will be back earlier than you, Darvish. And last full season, 9-5, 3.71 ERA. Only 124 strikeouts in 145 and two thirds. But before that, he struck out 199 batters in 2013. Homer Bailey, Heath.
This is probably a guy who I am picking up when I'm looking to fill empty DL spots at the start of the year.
Okay.
Just kind of, it's there, might as well use it. And if nobody bumps him out of the DL spot by the time he returns, maybe he'll be somebody worth having on my bench.
Yeah, he's not somebody I've drafted or thought about drafting yet.
Heath, how about Zach Wheeler? Zach Wheeler.
And his timetable is like the worst of all of them, isn't it?
Is he after the All-Star break?
Yeah, so he's not on my radar to be drafted.
Okay. Evan Gattis.
I don't really draft him in points leagues. I don't see much of a point. It's so bad with plate discipline that as DH only players, just not that valuable. But Roto, it seems like it's going to be a really short stay on the DL, so I like him as a late round power source.
All yep. right. Corey Seager, we don't know that he's going to start on the DL. Have you downgraded him at all, or is he still like a round five kind of guy, Corey Seager?
I think I downgraded him to the middle of the sixth or end of the sixth, but not, that was like a half a round or a round. I just dropped him down behind some guys that I thought were a little safer.
It sounds like he's going to be ready to go, though. It's okay. The latest.
How about Kevin Gausman with the shoulder tendonitis? If you were drafting today, would you even bother with Kevin Gausman?
I dropped him quite a bit yesterday. Isn't shoulder tendonitis what they said that was Drew Smiley's problem last spring?
Yeah, I think so. I could actually look that up for you. Now that one seems a little scary, Kevin Gausman. Is he worth drafting, Scott?
I didn't have him really in mixed league range before this, so I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of a risky but high upside AL-only choice.
Okay, how about Lance McCullers, guys? This one's interesting to me. Lance McCullers.
I drafted him for the first time, actually, in a league late last week, and it was the same spot where I saw other people taking him earlier. I don't feel like the DL stint is anything more than really just buying him appropriate time to get ready for the season, and also probably allowing him to pitch deeper into the season since there's an innings concern with him. So, yeah, you're going to be without him a couple weeks probably, but
I mean, he is actually hurt.
Right. But he's going on the DL because they say they don't have enough time to get him ready. He's kind of past the injury now. So
okay.
I think it's worth skipping a couple weeks to get him as like your fourth pitcher in a mixed league.
It did feel like sort of a red flag though, like a spring training arm injury. You're just taking it at face value because I'm a little worried that
My feeling is they were kind of happy about they had an excuse to put him on the DL because right. It makes a lot more sense to save his innings at the front of the season rather than the end.
Scott says fourth starter. I just looked. I've got him at 48th, so I guess that's technically still a fourth starter.
And I have Eduardo Rodriguez as the last guy on my list. Eduardo Rodriguez.
I've dropped Eduardo Rodriguez a lot because I didn't really believe in him when he was doing what he was doing last year. And, I don't have the patience.
I actually kind of like him as a late round pick. I think he's one of the few genuine upside picks still available at that point. And I don't expect the injury to be a long-term thing. It's the knees. He's pitching again. He's fine.
And Alex Cobb is another injured guy that is going to be out for a while, so probably not going to be drafted. But if you have a lot of DL spots, hey, can't fault you for stashing anybody. So we'll go to the injuries, news, and notes before we talk about position battles. Yasmani Grandal has forearm soreness. Does this concern you, Yasmani Grandal?
A little, but you're drafting him more for upside than security, so I don't think it really changes how I evaluate him.
Sean Doolittle making progress with his tricep strain. Is he, in your eyes, is Sean Doolittle as safe as he was a week ago?
I guess it doesn't really have to do with his shoulder, which is the concern since he has a torn labrum. But he's supposed to be ready for the start of the season, so it's hard to downgrade him any further. I already think he's going too late for how valuable he could be.
Odubel Herrera has a lingering finger injury, Heath. Downgrading Odubel Herrera?
No, I don't know where you'd downgrade him to. I mean, he's just a very end-of-the-draft guy as it is.
How about Andre Ethier? Well, he has a leg injury. I guess the question is, nobody's really going to draft Andre Ethier in a mixed league. Does this do anything to the Dodgers outfield that's interesting for fantasy?
Well, the problem is they have way too many. They need like four injuries to make all of the guys that they have relevant. I think it sounds like Carl Crawford's going to be, Carl Crawford's going to play against righties when Ethier's out. Maybe it's a few extra at bats for Scott Van Slyke when against lefties, but no, unfortunately. Okay. They've got some guys that I could really get excited about if they could just find ways to get them playing time.
And you can file this one under probably not fantasy relevant, but just stinks for the Red Sox. Carson Smith has forearm cramping and very talented setup man for them that they got in the Wade Miley trade. Carson Smith, he seems a little concerned about it, so hoping for the best for Carson Smith. Mm. Now to the position battles. All right, so there are a lot here. I'll name a position battle. You tell me who you want to win it, who you think's going to win it. What we need to know as fantasy owners, Astros first base. Astros first baseman. Give me the scoop.
Well, I came in thinking John Singleton was going to win it because he's already signed to a long-term deal, and Jeff Luhnow, the general manager, said in the offseason it was his job to lose. But A.J. Reed's, of course, the big prospect here who is going to get the call at some point this year. Tyler White has had a very good spring and brings some offensive potential, less the power that you normally think of for a first baseman, but gets on base a lot. And there are some reports recently. I think Luno himself told Jim Bowden that maybe Reed and White could both make the roster, which I don't know what that would mean for Singleton. I'm still kind of skeptical they wouldn't start out with Singleton. But I think Reed definitely has entered the mixed league discussion as an upside pick. I could see him being on kind of the Chris Bryant plan a year ago, mid-April, once they buy that extra year of team control.
I think the Chris Bryant plan is going to disappear very quickly. And I don't know if maybe teams will still try to do it this year, but there's a pending grievance from Franco and Bryant, and there's talk that the new labor deal is going to prevent those types of things from happening anymore. And if I was a team, I don't know. I understand why it's worth it. Like, you're getting an extra year of control, but if that's something that there's a good chance is going to be disappearing anyway, I don't know that I'd take a risk with somebody that I'm hoping to re-sign in the future. And as far as John Singleton's job to lose, if you want to have credibility in the clubhouse and you say it's somebody's job to lose, that implies there's a chance they could lose it. If you're going to lose a job, a 158, 220, 368 slash line is a pretty good way to do it. He's been awful in spring training, while A.J. Reed has been outstanding.
Okay, if A.J. Reed gets the job, when should we draft A.J. Reed?
Well, if he actually wins the job, I mean, like, if it's clear cut, this is A.J. Reed's job, I think you're talking about moving him up to the round 12, 13 range, where you kind of where you see Mark Teixeira or Byung-Ho Park go.
Yep.
And I actually might prefer him to those two. I don't know when that's going to happen. And again, I'm kind of betting against it happening.
Well, let's move on to Cardinals first base. What's going on with the Cardinals first base situation?
Yeah. Who cares? No, in all seriousness, everything I've seen sounds like they are not very satisfied with their options. I think if I had to put odds on it, I'd put odds on Brandon Moss getting the first crack at it. I don't believe they have any faith left in Matt Adams.
I get that impression too. And the way they like what Matt Holliday's done at first base this spring. So I think Tommy Pham becomes an interesting NL only sleeper. It's a guy who could take Holliday's spot in the outfield.
Nationals shortstop.
Dusty Baker, from what I'm reading, and I haven't seen a quote, but just beat writers kind of reading between the lines, I guess, seems to like Trey Turner as a speed. And Danny Espinosa's had a bad spring. They've been working on his swing to kind of remake it. So I don't think Espinosa's a runaway. I still think when push comes to shove, Baker will lead toward a veteran like Drew. But I think Trey Turner's going to be up in that spot sooner than later. So a rotisserie sleeper still.
If Trey Turner and Trevor Story were both shortstops for their team for the entire season, who would you rank ahead?
I'm going to go with Story. And I've been looking and talking to Al and Scott about Trey Turner, and I just don't understand from his profile what he's supposed to be great at. It looks like he's going to be good at almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Trey Turner playing in Coors Field could be great at a couple things.
He has 6 steals this spring, so he could be great at steals.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the White Sox shortstop?
Jimmy Rollins. I think, though, Saladino has shown some surprising power this spring, and I think he had a 16-homer season in the minors a while back. I just think if that's what he does, it'll be all he does, and it won't be enough. So Rollins is better.
I think what really will determine it is what does Jimmy Rollins think about Adam LaRocha's son in the clubhouse.
Saladino sounds like a very healthy magician. The great Saladino.
That is excellent.
Yeah. It could be a good avatar.
That's a team name right there.
Exactly.
Saladino.
He turns all your fatty foods into healthy green options. Okay. Anyway.
Oh.
Toronto left. Yeah. Terrible magician. Toronto left field. Who's going to be Toronto's left fielder?
Saunders. I think that one's decided. Michael Saunders.
Fantasy relevant?
Maybe is like a boring fifth outfielder.
Minnesota center field, Heath, will it be Byron Buxton?
I believe it will be Byron Buxton. The only thing, like, I don't think they have anybody on their team that they really think could be good besides him. The one thing that could change is he was not good last year.
He's not been good this spring. If they don't think he's ready and they think it might hurt his development by having him start in the majors, then that might be the problem.
Oh, it's really frustrating because I want to draft him all the time. I took him in our auction league, but yeah, he's got a hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Chris Towers wrote a piece on him that's up on the website about Byron Buxton and the players that have started as poorly as he did. And there were still some that turned out to be good. He hasn't been as bad for as long as somebody like Billy Hamilton, to where you just don't think there's a hope anymore.
Chris will be on the podcast later this week, by the way. Get excited. All right, let's talk closers here. Blue Jays closer. I'm banking on Drew Storen. What about you guys?
Yep.
All signs are pointing that way.
And so, he's going to end up being one of the best draft values this year.
Until it becomes official, yeah, I think he is going to be a value.
Yeah, exactly. Astros closer.
Boy, I mean, Giles has not had a good spring, but I can't believe they'd make the determination based on that. He's their best reliever, and they paid two legit starting pitching prospects for him. This should be a non-battle, and I think in the end it's just going to be Giles.
I think it will be Giles, but I'm starting to get nervous with all the Ken Giles that I've drafted so far this year.
Braves closer.
Grilly, if he's healthy, it'll be Jason Grilly, and he's looked fine so far. So I don't know that it's going to last all season. It might be a situation where as soon as they get a good offer for him, he's gone, and Arodys Vizcaíno is back in the role. So they're both draftable in deeper leagues.
So you're going to have to chop those 32 saves up.
Yep. Heath, Brewers closer.
I believe it's going to be Will Smith. I don't think – I mean – they say they're going to start the season with a competition. He is the best reliever they have.
Start with a committee, you say?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not – that never lasts.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point. Phillies closer.
I think Andrew Bailey seems to be the guy getting all the attention right now. Two-time All-Star closer.
Of course, gosh. No,
2011.
No, thank you.
I'm going to stick with David Hernandez.
Am I going to feel like an idiot if Andrew Bailey has a good season? Maybe I
yeah,
was.
I think you're pretty safe there.
He was terrible last year.
Make you feel like an idiot.
I mean, he was terrible last year, but maybe he just needed more time to recover from a lot of injuries. All right, Red Sox third baseman. We kind of talked about this yesterday. Sandoval, Travis Shaw are in the mix.
They are not happy with Pablos. They. It's amazing to me how much the Red Sox don't like their own team. They don't like Rusne. They don't like Pablo.
Well, they got a new front office coming in. That's what happens.
They're like, man, these guys were dumb.
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, it seemed like Shaw was going to threaten either Sandoval or Rusne Castillo's playing time and left, and he still may impact both. But originally they were talking about playing Shaw in left field more at the end because they'd already seen enough to know he can handle third base, but now it's like they're just going to keep playing him at third base. So I think they really zeroed in on Sandoval is the potential odd man out there.
We're going to finish position battles. We'll save fill in the blank for tomorrow and some emails. And after we do position battles, get ready to find out if you're in the podcast league. It's Christmas morning for eight of you lucky, lucky souls. But I asked Heath for some position battles to talk about, and he gave me one. He gave me a lot, but one of them was raise a lineup. What does that mean, Heath?
Well, when Al and I were talking about this yesterday, we were talking about how there's like three spots within the Rays that we're not completely sure who's going to play where. We have no idea who's going to hit where. There's now talk that Logan Forsyth might actually be a leadoff hitter, which might actually make me move towards the consensus on him since I'm like 100 spots lower on him than Alan Scott are. But I don't know that we know who all three of the Rays outfielders are going to be. I don't know that we know who their everyday first baseman's going to be.
It doesn't matter. Is there anybody here that's going to be fantasy relevant?
I think Steve Pierce is still interesting, but I would bet against him losing a decent number of bats to right-hander, at least to start out, because they have a couple left-handed hitting options in Logan Morrison and James Loney and Corey Dickerson, we know, is going to play against every right-hander and probably most left-handers.
Right. I kind of feel like the Rays are trying to become the Bill Belichick of fantasy baseball.
They kind of have been, just not as
without the
successful.
Winning. Yes.
A decent amount of winning, but yeah.
Joe Maddon, I guess, was the Belichick and is the Belichick of
Well, I mean, the Dodgers are a little bit that way too. I would guess there's going to be a lot of different players in the Dodgers to get 300 at bats this year.
Yeah, and a lot of people who become their fifth starter because they all keep getting hurt. Braves third base. Who's going to be the Braves third baseman?
I'm thinking a platoon between Kelly Johnson and Adonis Garcia. Maybe not strict lefty righty, but they'll split, and neither will be that valuable.
And then Hector Olivero playing the outfield?
Yeah, I think he's their left fielder. That's all he's played this spring.
Is Hector Olivero somebody that you're drafting?
No. In fact, I had him so high to begin with that I actually moved him down.
Scott was the highest in the industry and didn't even want to be.
Yeah, it wasn't based on it. He's had a good spring. He completely revamped his swing this offseason. I'm still not sure he's going to have the power you expect from a corner infield eligible player, but we'll see.
All right. Reds rotation. Now, when I say these names, just tell me who's actually worth drafting and whether or not you think they're going to win the job. Reds rotation.
Who's worth drafting? John Lamb still may be in a deeper league, but he's going to begin the year on the DL.
Brandon Finnegan could be a late round SPARP option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do like Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson down the road, but they're probably going to be midseason call-ups.
They've been raving about Cody Reed.
Yeah.
They seem to really like him a lot.
How about the Braves rotation?
I see it as Ulysses Chacin probably getting in, and he was kind of interesting down the stretch for the Diamondbacks last year. I don't really see him being mixed league viable. Manny Benuelos, Williams Perez are also those really unexciting options. But of course, they have a lot of prospects on the verge: Aaron Blair, Sean Newcomb, and Mike Fultonevich. I don't think is. You know, he hasn't exhausted his potential despite a bad first showing last year. So those are guys to keep an eye on, especially in NL-only leagues.
How about, Heath, the Phillies' fifth starter spot? Adam Morgan, Vince Velasquez. I know we want it to be Velasquez.
Yes, I really, really, really want it to be Velasquez. And if it's not Velasquez, then I would think he would be my number one. Because if he doesn't make the rotation, he's going to be in the minors. He would be my number one pitcher that is a draft and stash because I think he'll probably be up by late May. And I think there's a ton of a potential there.
You'd rather have Velasquez
way up my rankings.
You'd rather have Velasquez than a Tyler Glass now if they both start in the minors?
I think there's a better chance of Velasquez getting up quicker, yes.
Okay, then speaking of which, how about the Pirates' back end of their rotation?
Yeah. There's so many bad names and the steerage effect could make any of them halfway good.
Yeah, Nicasio is the only one I'd draft from that. Jeff Locke and
John
Ryan
Neese?
Vogelsong are the well. John Neese is in. He's in. And I could see the steerage effect working for Neese. He's had a decent career. I mean, there's something to work with there.
Okay, Seattle rotation. It looks like Nate Karns might be edging out James Paxton, which I don't like at all.
I don't like it either.
I like it. Come on.
Well, you're not gonna. Karns wasn't bad. Karns was probably a little underrated last year, but
I think he actually has more strikeout potential than Paxton.
Yeah, that's one category, my man. Paxton.
Well, it's also I don't think he walks as many as Paxton either.
No, Paxton walk the strikeouts not his thing, I guess.
So why do you like Paxton so much?
You know, I think he's got. I always felt like he had really good stuff. He was a lefty who threw like 95 and. I feel like he had a really good slider, if I remember correctly. I haven't seen him pitch in a long time, but I always felt like there was a lot of potential there, and the numbers were always good for Paxton, right? Like, he always produced in terms of ERA.
Yeah, the peripherals seemed like they got worse and worse the longer he was in the majors, and I know he wasn't completely healthy, so maybe that had something to do with it, but I'm just disenchanted.
Let me just say this.
Paxton.
If Paxton figures things out in the minors and they call him up, I'll buy back in because I'm not ready to give up on him. I think injuries did have a lot to do with his poor performance. But I will understand that he's not going to be a huge strikeout guy, and he might hurt your whip. So he's more of a points league guy for me.
Okay.
Yankees number five starting pitcher. I think Ivan Nova's got a chance to win that. Or at least maybe not at right out of spring training because he just had a bad start. But
over Sabathia, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Sabathia's just been horrible. But I think they'll give Sabathia the first crack. But if you're in an AL-only league, Nova Nova was bad last year, but he came back from Tommy John, and I think he can be at least serviceable. Angels rotation. Any interesting candidates here?
Have any of them been good?
Well, Heaney. I'm kind of assuming Heaney's in.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm assuming Santiago's. And I think, I mean, it's still technically a battle, but those two I think are in. Maybe there's an opportunity with Jared Weaver's back situation that a third guy could make it in, and it's a Matt Shoemaker or...
And he's been awful too, hasn't
Nick
he?
Trapiano. Yeah. Heaney and Santiago haven't been awful. They pitched well this spring.
Okay, I thought Santiago had a bad start.
Maybe he did have one.
Maybe it was the first one.
I don't have much faith in Santiago because he's a high walk, high home run guy. Heaney, though, has genuine upside, and I think he probably deserves a little more credit than he's been getting in mixed league. Draftable maybe in an Eduardo Rodriguez sort of way.
All right, let's finish off with the Cubs' number five starter. It's Kyle Hendricks, right? He's in, right?
I can't imagine he's not.
Yeah.
I think that was sort of an early spring training question, but not
right.
Anymore.
They seem to like Warren a lot. I mean, makes sense considering they gave up a cost-controlled Starlin Castro for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but Adam Warren could if there's one injury, then you're going to want to look at Adam Warren.
Sure.
Toronto's number five starter.
I think Aaron Sanchez, he's had such a good spring. He hasn't had control issues in the roles, actually struck out a decent number of hitters. And he would be a sparp. He's somebody else we need to talk about there as an option for points leaguers. It's not official, but I think he's done what he needed to do to win the job.
They have a bad, bad rotation.
It doesn't look like a playoff caliber rotation. But then again, who in the AL East has one other than the Rays, who you don't like as much as I do?
Right.
Well,
I think they'll still be in the playoffs. They're just going to win a lot of 10-8 games.
Yeah.
I think the Yankees could have a playoff caliber rotation. If the best case scenario is the Yankees have one of the best rotations in baseball. The likely is it's probably like top 12, and the worst case is that they all get hurt and it's the worst rotation in baseball.
is that different than for any other team in baseball?
Yes, I actually think it is, because I think every single Yankee starting pitcher has a pretty big health question mark.
Yeah. No, it's true. There is a lot of upside and a lot of downside.
Arizona's number five starting pitcher. And I don't know about Severino having a big health question mark, but he is on Verducci's list, so keep that in mind. Last one, Arizona's number five starting pitcher.
Got to be Robbie Ray, right? He's been awesome this spring.
Yay.
who else was in that conversation? I guess maybe Archie Bradley was briefly, but he got sent to minor league camp.
Yeah.
All right, so would you rather draft Robbie Ray or Aaron Sanchez?
In a points league, Sanchez and Roto, where the RP eligibility doesn't matter, I'll go Ray.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to draft either one of them.
All right, so the big takeaway for me was AJ Reed. And if he, he might be worth drafting late before he gets the job. And if he does get the job, he might be worth a mid-round pick as an Astros first baseman, AJ Reed. That was the biggest takeaway. And, of course, we'll keep an eye on the closer situations, among others.
Yes, so, we will. Close eye, watchful eye.
Few minutes left on this podcast. Who's in the podcast league?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we know Aaron Lachel is in the podcast league. He's winning our bracket challenge right now. I got to tell you, I'm a little apprehensive about the podcast league this year because we have some international drafters. They said they're going to be able to make the draft, but I
leery-eyed.
It's just,
you chose the people that are in the draft, so you're a little bit worried about the people that you chose?
Listen, this is what I did.
Okay.
Three or four of the spots, of the eight spots, I went through all the emails, I read them, I put
stars. You didn't go through all the emails.
What?
You did not go through all the
almost
emails.
All of them. I did. I took a lot of time. I had to put stars next to a number of them, like, I don't know, 50 maybe, that were something special, like a really long listener or somebody who wrote a clever poem or something. And then from those 50, I chose four, I think, at random. And then from the rest of the group, several hundred others, I chose just completely at random. So
you did not choose any of the people that I sent to you and said this person should be in?
I chose one, I think.
Wow.
Because Heath,
you made a difference.
There were many. There were so many.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Nathan Judah from England. You are in the league. He has not missed a show from England since 2010. And welcome to the show. You'll be drafting at 1 a.m. local time. 8 p.m. Eastern for us here in the States. But 1 a.m. for you, Nathan. Welcome to the league. Eric Tesler from Chicago, Illinois. Been a listener for over 5 years, and now you are in the podcast league. Welcome, Eric. Marina Navarro, a huge fan, downloads daily, and constantly amazed at how much, as to how much Heath and Al sound alike. I'm still not convinced they are not the same person, and they also agree on everything. So, Marina, welcome to the
Heath
league.
Is the disagreeable Al. Like, when yes. Al's in a bad mood, he shows up as Heath.
Yes, exactly. We've got a mailman named Dave who is in. He says, you guys are huge in the mailman community. You help us get through our job every day. I'm 36, so Heath probably won't let me in the league, but I'm a fantasy baseball nerd.
Hey, Heath himself is in the league. Aren't you the same age?
I am
Dave?
36. 36 yeah. is a prime for a fantasy baseball player.
We have Malik Jackson. Welcome to the league, Malik. You, sir, are coaching American football in Bern, Switzerland. It is such a sophisticated, civilized culture. They don't really have bars with TVs. I guess I'm asking into the league to save my sanity in this place. So congratulations, Malik. And I almost read the last sentence in your email until I realized it was inappropriate. So, Malik, you are in.
Oh, boy.
And we'll keep that one between us. Not that bad. But
sounds like the podcast league message board will be fun again this year.
And, Heath, this one's for you. This is Team Diversify. Paula. She says, I'll make this simple. You need a girl in this league, and my awesome team name will be Farizzo. Wait, I don't actually get her team name.
Farizzo?
No, I'm not reading it right. So, okay. Anyway,
sorry, Paula.
Welcome
sure
to the league.
Sure, it's clever.
Yeah, and
Adam's
Vic.
Just being dense this morning. I blame the early hour.
Yeah, maybe. The Victor, you're in the league. He's been playing fantasy baseball on CBS since 2004. He attached his 2004 lineup. It has Paul LaDuca, Jeff Bagwell, Michael Young, Roy Oswalt, Torrey Hunter, Randy
Wynn.
What
I remember about 2004 sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so yeah. Vic, you're in the league. Congratulations to everybody. Thank you so much for submitting. We've got our podcast league. Heath, you and Chris can decide if you want to do a rejects league. But we got to bounce.
I am really just happy that I am Team Diversity.
You are Team Diversity.
Like, I'm the only person fighting for diversity in the podcast league.
What would Danny Tanner do? That's what I like to say. All right, well, sorry, guys. We do have to bounce. Thank you all for listening. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. And, of course, we're back tomorrow. We'll review the points league draft that Heath and Scott will be a part of, and Al as well. I won't be. That's today. And we will do some fill-in-the-blank tomorrow. I'm Adam Azer for Scott White and Heath Cummings. We'll see you later.